adventure of discovery. We're inventors in a workshop with a mega machine. And that took some artistic skill, you have to understand, from a pastor who's not very artistic normally. But we have a mega machine which will be up the front next Sunday. We're mega makers seeking to help the children hear about how God's love is far wider and longer and higher and deeper than they could ever imagine. We're going to be thinking on the stories, some of the stories through Matthew's gospel, thinking what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But I thought we'd start tonight in Luke chapter 5 and a story that's mentioned in all of the Gospels, the calling of the first disciples. Jesus basically tells these fishermen, your adventure begins now. He's calling them to leave their boats behind and become fishers of men. They will go on to tell others about Jesus and lead them to him. Here in Luke 5, we learn some important lessons for beginning that adventure. Firstly, we must finish the right preparations. We must finish the right preparations. When we come across Peter and Andrew, they are down by the lake. It's early morning, and generally there were very few people around. There was lake round about your homes. But when I come walking over the odd morning that I walk over to the prayer meeting on a Monday morning and don't take the car, depending on how lazy I am, the odd morning I walk over at 7 o'clock, there ain't many people around here. And so early in the morning for Peter and Andrew down by the lake, there usually weren't many people. But this day that we read of, Jesus was there. And as was quite often the case, whenever Jesus was somewhere, a crowd soon followed and gathered. To the side, Jesus spotted two fishing boats tied up after a long night fishing. Beside them on the shore were Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were washing their nets, we're told in verse 2. In the parallel account in Mark's Gospel, in Mark 1, James and John are mending their nets. These fishermen were finishing their preparations. Now, I've just said that they spent all night fishing. And here they are in the morning finishing their preparations. Surely they'd have been better preparing before they went out fishing, and then they might have caught something. It might not have been such a long night. And that's true. But good fishermen prepare in the morning when they come back from the night before. They come to shore. They sell any fish that they have caught. And then before they head home for a wash and a kip, they clean up, they mend their broken nets, and they get ready for their next trip out that night. A fishing net would get many things caught in it, not just the fish. There would be seaweed and other sea plants. No doubt there would be rubbish that had been thrown into the water as well. The men would want the nets clean for catching fish the next night. Their nets would also rip apart sometimes with a large haul of fish, or even with the odd fish trying to nibble its way to freedom, or better still, when the net gets caught on a rock and a hole would be torn into it. So the fishermen always took time in the morning to mend their nets, to wash their nets. Fishermen finish their preparations so they can be effective and work well the next trip out. We, like Peter and his friends, are called to be fishers of men. In order to be effective in those roles, we have to finish the right preparations as well. We must have our nets ready to cast. How do we do that? Well, let me suggest three quick ways for us this evening. Firstly, we need to be sure of our own salvation. We need to be sure of our own salvation. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter writes that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once, he says, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We need to be saved. We need to understand what it is to trust in Jesus and to follow him. We have to repent of our sins and turn from them and be following the Savior. If we are not saved, then how on earth can we save anyone else? Of course, good theologians, you'll tell me we can't save anybody anyway because that's God's job, and quite right you are. But how can he use us in the process? if we aren't first sure of our own salvation. If you do not know tonight that you are saved, then let me encourage you to stop right there and to finish the right preparations. Hear tonight that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, that he was raised from the grave, conquering death and hell and evil for you. It's never too late to stop and accept Christ as your Savior. So you need to be saved. You need to know your salvation. Secondly, we have to know how to share what God has done in our lives. Our best tool for evangelism is not the latest self-help book that's out there by some of these mega church pastors. It's not some bright idea even your lowly pastor might come away with on a Sunday evening. The best tool you have for evangelism is your own story, your own testimony of how God has saved you and drawn you to himself. Now, some of us have fancy testimonies. I get that, and they're wonderful. Some of us have pretty simple, ordinary, boring testimonies in a sense, but no testimony is ever boring. Why? Because out of all of the people in this world, God chose you, and he called you to himself. God chose you, and he opened your eyes and your ears to the truth of the gospel, and he drew you to himself. We are all unique. And so we can all speak of God at work. Be clear on how and why you became a Christian. So that, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, we might always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Thirdly, be prayed up. Be prayed up. Pray some more. Pray that God would give you opportunities to share your faith this week. Pray that you'd have the right words to share. Pray that you would be able to give the reason for the hope that you have. Pray for confidence. Pray for boldness. Pray for the Spirit's leading and his guiding. Know yourself. Be saved. Know your salvation. Be ready to share your own story. Know what it is, how to share it, and be prayed up. Fishermen, finish the right preparation. We too must have our nets ready to cast. So think again on your salvation story tonight. Consider how you yourself accepted the salvation Jesus offered. Remember how you came to accept Christ as Lord and what a difference that has made in your life. Pray that he would lead you and guide you and use you this week. Particularly those of us who are going to be working with the children. That as we share with them, that we would share well and that we would share effectively. Finish the right preparation. As you go to your workplace tomorrow, be ready to share over coffee. When somebody says to you, what were you up to at the weekend? And you quickly fill your mind with, what did I do on Saturday? Start filling your mind with, well, what did I do on Sunday? What did the pastor teach us on Sunday morning and Sunday evening? So that when somebody asks you at coffee break at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, how was your weekend? You can say, well, my pastor preached a belter on prayer in the morning. Maybe you were in some other church, I don't know. Hopefully you were and got some of that. But be ready. Make the right preparations. Having finished the right preparations, make sure that we find the right process. We must find the right process. What do I mean by that? Well, fishermen knew how to fish, and yet the night before they've gone out and they've caught nothing. That's what we learn in verse 4. Jesus has got in to Peter's boat. He's finished teaching the crowds that had gathered around him. And then he turns to Peter and he says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. In order to fish, particularly in the sea and the lake, you had to put out from shore into deeper water. Once out in the deep water, you cast your nets. We read in Matthew's account that Peter and Andrew were casting their nets. That word means they were casting first on one side and then they were casting on the other. In other words, they were casting their nets all over the place, trying to gather in some fish. The lesson for those of us who would be fishers of men is this. We are to be in the business of casting the net everywhere we go. I think the best plan for witnessing that I have ever seen was the plan used by our Lord Jesus Christ. He just shared the message everywhere he went. That's what he did. As he went about his daily life, he used every situation as an opportunity to talk to someone about the condition of their soul. Do you Jesus spoke of the farmer sowing seed, the mustard seed growing in the garden, the merchant hunting for pearls. Jesus found a woman by the well and spoke of never thirsting again. He told the crowd about the bread of life as he fed them from 5 loaves and 2 fish. If we are alert, remember this morning we talked about that idea of persevering, of being alert and persevering. If we're alert to what's going on around us, we will be ready to take an opportunity to share our faith, to tell people about Jesus. Watch out for those this week. Find the right process for you in the midst of that. When it comes to sharing your faith, use whatever plan suits you. You hear of all these plans, don't you? John 3:16, some people use the Roman road. It might be journey into life. It might be steps to faith. All of these work in different circumstances and occasions. The right process, though, at his very heart, is simply a spirit-filled Christian pointing a lost sinner to the Savior. Listen, we can all do that. Every one of us. We can do that. As sinners who have been saved by grace, we can point others straight to Jesus. These fishermen knew how to fish. They had finished the right preparations. They had found the right process. Now they fish in the right places. We must find the right places. Jesus tells Peter to put out into the deep in verse 4 and let his nets down. Peter explains in verse 5 that they had been fishing all night and they had caught diddly squat, zilch, nothing. The implication here is that we know what we're doing, but it just wasn't our night. We fished at night when it was dark and it was calm. We fished in the deep water, but the fish were simply not biting. Of course, the fishing at night was the right and normal method, then probably pushing out from shore in the morning maybe wasn't the best thing to do. And yet as Jesus speaks, Peter says, we caught nothing last night at the right time, but because you say, we'll have another go. And so they push out into deep water, and they let down their nets, and hey presto, the fish come. They're fishing in the right place. Fishing in the water is generally the right kind of place to fish. You're not going to catch a fish if there's no pond there, are you? That would be an obvious thing to say. You don't catch fish in dry land. And verse 6 tells us that as they let down their nets, they caught such a large haul of fish. They caught so many fish that their nets began to break. They caught so many fish that they had to call James and John to come and to help them in their boat. They fished in the right place and made their biggest catch ever, I would hasten to add, probably. The same truth holds when it comes to the matter of witnessing. If we're going to see people saved, then we have to go to where they are. That is, we sometimes need to go outside the walls of this place and take the net out into the world where the lost live, and we need to share the gospel with them. We are to be active in the manner of getting the message out into the world. People are perishing. And we have that antidote to their sickness. We must get the message out into the world. We preach the gospel in the church, but we must preach the gospel in the world as well if we would see people saved. For us this week, where's the right place? It's going to be right here. Because hopefully the kids are going to come in. And if the kids don't come in, then the right place is actually for us to go out there and drag them in. Put that net over them and hook them in. But the children are going to come. We're in the right place. The children and the young people of the court are going to descend on the church tomorrow afternoon and every other afternoon this week. How do I know that? Because we've been praying about it already, and you guys are going to keep praying about it tonight and into tomorrow as well. But we need to be ready for them. Of course, for some of us, we'll be at work this week. And then the right place for you to fish is at your work. And that's a scary thought. Maybe you're going to be out in the gym. Maybe you're going to be out having coffee. Maybe you're going to be out having lunch with your pals. I don't know. But wherever you are this week around people, that is going to be the right place for you. And finally, and maybe most importantly, as our adventure begins, we must follow the right person. As Peter struggles to bring this large catch of fish to the shore, he recognizes who it is that is in the boat with him. And as he realizes who is in the boat, he is drawn to his own position. And he's reminded that he is a sinner. that he is unworthy to be close to someone holy and righteous. And so he says in verse 8, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Here's the incredible thing. Jesus does not push sinners away, but he draws them into himself. He says a few verses later in chapter 5 and verse 31 of Luke's gospel, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Later again in Luke 19, he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Peter, a sinner, was being called to be a fisher of men. Hamish, a sinner, is being called to be a fisher of men. Heather, Iona, Ethan, Gregor, Mark, Patrick, sinners, have been called to be fishers of men. Morag and Stuart and Craig and Andrew and David and Kirsten and Margaret and Ronnie and Scott and Rachel and Ashley. This is just me proving I know your names, by the way. And Rebecca and Colin and Nan and Elaine and Debbie and Jeff and Robert and Miriam and Kath and Ruth and Tricia and Jeff. And Jeff, where did I get that from? And Byron and Lisa and Daniel, sinners called to be fishers of men. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God in his mercy has saved us and redeemed us. God in his wisdom is using the foolish things of the world. I'm just talking about me here, by the way. The foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are told in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Here he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Isn't that incredible? And what do? Did they turn and run? Did they make their excuses? Did they stay in their homes all safe and secure and well and comfortable? No. Verse 11 tells us that they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything. Left their nice tellies. Left the open golf. Left the hot tub. Don't know if anyone's got a hot tub. If you do, invite the pastor around. Whatever it is, they left it all behind. And they went and followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. That word "followed" means to cleave to another, conforming to his example. In other words, these men left their nets, their boats, life as they knew it behind in order to cleave to stick to cling close to Jesus and to learn from him. There is no other person to follow, by the way. Jesus would teach them that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Jesus is God's Son sent into the world in order to redeem the world. He came to save us from our sin. He came to pay the price for our sin. He came to restore our relationship with our Father in heaven. Jesus would also teach them that every life was important to God the Father. That's why after his death and resurrection, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's why he said, "Go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." The adventure for these men on this day as they were in their fishing boats, well, sitting by the side mending their nets when Jesus came along, the adventure was just beginning. They would learn so much in the years that came as they followed Jesus and as they fished for men. Your adventure, brothers and sisters, young and old amongst us tonight, your adventure begins now. Oh, it's begun in the past, but it begins afresh tonight. And it starts and finishes with that last point. You must follow the right person. Knowing Jesus is absolutely everything. This week, keep following Jesus as you have done until this point in your life. In order to lead mission this week, you guys, we need to finish the right preparations. So make sure that you are saved. Make sure you know your own story of how you came to know Jesus and pray for opportunities to share that in various ways this week, even with the little children, because boy, they will want to know little bits about you. So be ready to share with them. There are practical preparations still to be done this week, and you've got a hard taskmaster. So make the right preparations. We must find the right process in order to share our faith this week. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it involves the gospel message being shared, as long as it involves pointing a lost sinner to the Savior. And of course, we must fish in the right places. That should be fairly obvious for some of us this week because it's right here. Share with the kids. share with the youngsters in Cornton the wonderful truth that God's love is wider and longer and higher and deeper than they could ever imagine. We are all in this together. We're all called to be fishers of men, whether it's here this week, whether it's somewhere else this week. We're all called to be fishers of men. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus this week as we serve him in the various places that we work and live out our faith. Friends, tonight, your adventure begins now. Let's pray.